right back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Wednesday. We have the voting open for the Tim Corbin region. We've got till 9 o'clock tonight. Eight more athletes will advance in our Nashville sports bracket. The best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years. The five seed in our bracket, who's in the Tim Corbin region. Brant Snedeker on the line with us, going up against the 12 seed, Juwan Jennings, former Vols wide receiver, kid that played just down the road where I am in Rutherford County. And right now, Chase, what do we have results-wise in that 5-12 matchup?
What we have right now for that one is, as I go into a four-corner stall here,
refresh.
Brant Snedeker leads the way, 63%, 237% over Juwan Jennings.
63%. And Brant Snedeker is indeed on the line with us. Brant, you feel pretty good about today's action? Is that a good lead for you out of the gates?
I think so. I'm a little worried with the recency bias here. Juwan just getting done up there at Tennessee, so hopefully I can overcome that. And I mean, I do have a couple questions, I guess. I didn't know Tim Corbin was an athlete. So is that count, or is coaching involved in this?
It's just his region. He's not in it. It's just
he's not in it. Okay.
Yeah, he's like we had the yesterday.
We've named the region after him.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher region was yesterday. Today it's the Tim Corbin region. Tomorrow we're going to unveil for voting the Phil Bredesen region, and then we've got the David Poyle region to finish things out. Yeah,
so I was going
to
say if I'm in his region, I got no chance. I mean, there's no way in the world I'd beat Tim Corbin.
I've got to be honest. I saw pictures, I think it was over the weekend, of you, and I did not know this about you. Are you an avid fisherman? I mean, pretty nice catch, picture you posted.
I do, yeah. I love getting outdoors and doing anything outdoors to kind of get away. So we were out kind of doing our part, social distancing, getting away from everybody, and went out to a place we got a lot west of town and went fishing and kind of hanging out at the farm with the kids. So it was a lot of fun and caught some good fish. The kids had a blast, so it was kind of good to get out of the house for a few days and get out there kind of away from everybody and do our part.
Is that kind of your love away from the golf course?
It is, yeah. You know, I love getting, you know, obviously being outside all the time in golf, kind of like being where my cell phone doesn't work for a few days and kind of checking out. So getting outside, doing that kind of stuff, I love. I grew up fishing my whole life. I love it. Any kind of fishing, it can be fly fishing, sport fishing, bass fishing, you name it, I'm in for it. And gotten to be a little bit more outdoorsy and getting some hunting here in the last few years. So just love being outside, being in the woods a little bit, kind of clears your head and gets you kind of hits a reset button for me, at least anyways.
We're seeing a lot of these athletes in sports right now turn to video games, and, you know, networks are picking up on this and they're willing to air it. They're looking for content. One, let me just start with, are you a video game? Do you like golf games? You're into video games?
You know, I used to be in college, and then I had a really bad semester because I was playing too many video games.
That happened to me too, Brant.
Yeah, so I realized I don't have the self-control, I guess is the best way to put it, to only keep it to one game at a time. I play for 6 or 7 hours at a time. So, you know, I haven't played a video game in probably 10 years. My son's got an Xbox, and I might play a game with him every once in a while, but very rarely do I get into it.
I didn't know if the Golf Channel was looking to pick up you guys doing battle on Golden Tee or what. You know, I didn't know.
I'm terrible at Golden Tee. I'm better at the handheld games, but Golden Tee, I'm awful at. There's some guys on tour who are really good. I mean, really good.
So, what are you hearing? We've talked to a lot of obviously athletes and their respective sports and kind of what they're hearing, what they're doing. You know, obviously you find ways, whether it's Zoom or what have you, Skype, and talk to guys that you play with, friends on the tour. So what are you guys discussing right now about your sport?
You know, we're kind of in this, no different than any other sport right now. We're in big-time limbo trying to figure out, you know, I think with Wimbledon getting canceled earlier today, that does not bode well for the British Open, which is in London the week after this year. So I would have to assume if Wimbledon's not happening, I can't see the British Open happening either. So that's in middle of July for us. So I just don't know. You know, I think the one positive our sport has going forward versus a lot of other sports is we are obviously an outdoor-based sport where we can put something on TV that doesn't have to have fans, doesn't have to have volunteers involved in, so that you'd have a much smaller footprint. You know, kind of what they're talking about with basketball, but we're a non-contact sport, so we can effectively social distance all day long. We're playing golf. We're never really that close to anybody anyway. So I have a feeling we'll be one of the first sports back. When that is, I don't know. I think we got a lot more serious things going on the next 2 weeks, just kind of figure out, hopefully get grips around this thing and just go in the right direction.
Why has this city, why is everything, you've done so many good things, and obviously it's been a strange time on this show, on, you know, for all of us, you know, having to cover a tornado and then right after that this pandemic and COVID-19. I mean, it's just been a weird, weird 2020. But you know this market well. Why has this worked, and how this market responds to adversity and how we stick together? I mean, I think it's why we all live here and love this place. But just for the purposes of kind of like what we're talking about, Nashville athletes, why has this worked for you and your family?
Well, you know, growing up here, I probably didn't realize how special this place was until I got a chance to really start traveling. And, going to Vanderbilt, probably the best decision I ever made in my career for me, just because I met a lot of great people there. I met my wife there. I got to play with some great players on the golf team and had a great coach and really got me kind of motivated. And Vanderbilt did a great job of preparing me to be a professional athlete in the sense of how to time manage, how to handle yourself, how to do stuff the right way. And so once I turned pro and started traveling, I realized how special Nashville was. You know, I've been just about everywhere in the world, I feel like, through the game of golf. And you know, you have a community like this that's so tight-knit, it's grown together. Still has, even though we can all agree that we're growing really, really fast, it still has a very small town feel to it when you're in it. You know, you feel like everybody cares about their neighbors. They're really concerned with the city. They're concerned with making sure that if we do have tourists coming in town, we do a great job of showing them a good time. And it's grown to kind of, you know, everybody here's kind of grown to appreciate that. That's pretty rare in the world these days. And so, you know, Nashville's just a great, great place with a bunch of great people. It's got everything you could ever want in a city. But more importantly, like I've kind of harkened back to with this tornado a couple of weeks ago, or about a month ago now, I guess, is it's not the city, the buildings or anything else that makes the city special. It's all the people here. You know, the people that care, genuinely care about it, grew up here, or it might be transplants. They realize it's a special place and they want to be here, and they want to do their part to keep it that way. So, hopefully through this disaster, after having the last one, the tornado, we can kind of pull together even closer as a community and realize how special this place is and help each other out, and be good neighbors, be good friends, and do our part to help people who are really going to struggle for the next couple of weeks through this thing.
We're talking to Brant Snedeker, a fine player from the PGA Tour, and it's always great to catch up with him, Nashvillean, as he just got done telling you. And Brant, no pressure here in our Nashville sports bracket, you being a 5 seed, but you're the last of the Mohicans for the Big Red. Montgomery Bell with Engel Martin and R.A. Dickey going down in the first round. That's tough. So you're carrying the torch here.
Who did he lose to? I want to hear this.
He lost to Ryan Tannehill. R.A. was the 7 seed and Tannehill was the 10. And you hit the term right at the start, the recency bias. I think that worked against R.A. It was very close, but R.A.
Yeah,
and he joined us yesterday. We hyped him up.
We did. We had him on, and I think I think we were all surprised that he lost yesterday.
I think it was a seeding. I think y'all did a bad job. Those 7-10 games are coin flips. Come on, you got to give him a better seed next time.
But, Brant, of course, you did so many great things at MBA and also at Vanderbilt. I'm curious, too, just watching the program, the Vanderbilt men's golf team has done really, really well year in and year out. They're competing for a national title. Some year they're going to win it here, as you know. And, you know, Luke List, I know, is a consistent guy on the tour now, another Vanderbilt guy. But maybe if you can, tell us your relationship with the program and maybe how you've seen it evolve since you left.
Yeah, you know, when I came to Vanderbilt, we were not very good, to say the least. I think we were probably bottom two or three, it seemed like every year in golf. And I kind of went there with the thinking of, it's an SEC program, there's no reason why we can't be great at golf. And kind of started, hopefully, that trend. And it really kind of took off with the hiring of our coach, Scott Limbaugh, about, I think it's his sixth year, something like that. Scott was assistant out of Alabama when Alabama had won back-to-back national championships with Justin Thomas and Bud Colley and all these stud players that were down there. We hired him at Vanderbilt, and things just turned on a dime. I mean, we went from being a pretty good program to an elite program relatively quickly. He did a great job recruiting some great players. There's a kid right now named John Augustine of Vanderbilt who is just going to play in the Masters. Was going to play in the Masters as an amateur here in 2 weeks. He'll probably end up playing, hopefully, play in the fall. And, you know, just turned it into a great program where people from all over the world want to come and play golf at Vanderbilt. You know, he's a great coach. He's one of those guys that very similar to Tim Corbin. I got a feeling if you told him to coach any sport, he'd be successful. He's just one of the people who can lead people and get the most out of his players. And so they've lost in the final two out of 3 years in the match play finals of the NCAA. So he's got it rolling over there. It's just a matter of time before they get it done. But it's been fun to watch them really, really get great at golf and embrace it. And I'll talk to your head coach. Is so much very similar to Vanderbilt baseball. You know, Vanderbilt baseball was okay. No offense to you, Willie, but it took a guy like Tim to come in and really kind of change the outlook of the program. And Scott's doing the same thing with golf.
Well, Brant, here's something, and you've kind of illustrated the perspective of where sports fits, right? And you were talking about, you know, golf might have some opportunities here with the distancing that you can have, you know, mm-hmm. physically and still be able to play. So how are you trying to stay sharp right now, especially with the uncertainty? You don't know if it's going to be, you know, a month, 2 months, whatever it is, but how do you keep, you know, that mental focus and are you getting some reps in, you know, on your –
Hello. I think I lost you. Y'all still
there? I think, Willie, you cut out. Go ahead.
Yeah. I've been able to do a little bit, which is nice. I've got a simulator in my house that allows me to kind of play some golf and practice a little bit at home. And there's no recreating me on the golf course. And as the weather gets better here in the next few weeks, I'll do a lot more. But with the timeline being right now for us is looking into May is a next tournament we have on our calendar scheduled to go, which is the Charles Schwab Invitational down in Colonial in Fort Worth. I'm kind of circling that in my mind as when we're going to try to give it a go again. And so with that being said, we could be hope that could be wishful thinking, but I'm going to use that as my start date. So these next couple of weeks, I'll really start getting out there and trying to play and practice a little bit when I can. And, you know, hopefully golf courses, you know, a lot of them, some of them are shut down, some of them are staying open. I have some places to go and be able to get some work in. You know, it seems like golf right now is a good kind of respite from what's going on in the world. You can get outside and play nine holes, not really talk to anybody. I mean, have plenty of distance from everybody and get some exercise and get some fresh air. Because I think, you know, judging from just me and my being around my kids and trying to homeschool for the last, I guess, week, it feels like 4 months. I'm going to need some outside time. I am not built to be a teacher.
We're talking to Brant Snedeker, Nashville legend, Vanderbilt legend. And obviously, as we have this conversation, there are bigger things than sports, bigger things than golf. But I know for me, just as a fan, it's going to be weird not watching the Masters in April at Augusta National. Like, for you as somebody that plays in these tournaments, I mean, what the hope is to reschedule it and to play it at some point, but it is – how do you process all of this of knowing that things are, you know, golf is such a sport of tradition that a lot of these traditions are going to be changed?
Yeah, it's really, it's going to be a really weird next 2 years, I think, because I think it'll take 2 years for it to really shake out with us of how we move our schedule around, where we move tournaments to. But I think it'll hit home for a lot of people next, for sports fans, at least for next week, just because next week is the Masters. And that's kind of what I remember as being like the starting of spring and summer and, when things really get going for me, for golf and for everybody else of being outside, doing stuff outside, not having it on TV is going to be such a different feeling and different. You know, I think it'll really kind of speak to the seriousness of the issues we have going on right now. But that being said, I think, you know, as we all know, as we all have not had sports on TV or anything, you know, so much of our country and so much of our fabric of who we are, it revolves around sports in the sense that it provides entertainment, B, it provides experiences that people wouldn't have, and people kind of forget that a huge part of what we're missing right now is that shared experience that you have watching a sporting event with somebody or watching an event with your dad or your son or whoever it may be. And so we're missing those experiences right now. So I think sports can be a big healing for this country when it comes back. We're obviously hoping sooner rather than later. And with us, you know, the Masters maybe be playing in October would be a cool moment because it'd be different, but it also symbolizes that we're back to being who we are as a country. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of find a way through this and our schedule can kind of work its way out with no Olympics now for us. We have an open week in the fall and maybe there's talks and maybe not of moving, you know, the PGA to the fall, moving the U.S. Open to the fall. So there's some opportunities there to have a lot of big events in a row and kind of feel like you're getting back to normalcy.
Brant, you mentioned something that you have a simulator and you've gotten in that, and I don't think there's anything that could help my golf game. Darren's seen it. It's bad. It's very, very bad. But how much has technology kind of changed some of the preparation? Because I think that's cool that a lot of you guys are able to use simulators. I know it's not the same as being on the actual course, but how much does it help?
It does help a little bit. You know, technology plays a huge deal. You know, we have these devices called TrackMans now that you can put behind you and hit golf balls, and it's a radar, and it tells you exactly how far your ball is flying, the spin rate of it, the curve, the direction, all these kind of things. So it can make you practice a lot smarter and a lot more efficiently than you would have before. You know, it used to be if I was trying out new clubs or new whatever, new irons, a new golf ball, anything, it was a trial and error process of going to the golf course, going back to the range, going to the golf course, charting where everything's going, trying to figure out if the ball's working or not. Whereas now TrackMan can cut that down into, you know, one session of 45 minutes to an hour. You can kind of dial stuff in pretty quickly. So that helps a lot. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff that can really streamline what you're trying to do. The one problem you get into is there's still something innate in every athlete, I think, that they have a natural ability or a natural feel. And sometimes technology can kind of hide that. You know, you kind of lose who you are as a, you know, he's a pitcher, for example, when people are working on their technique when pitching. Sometimes those guys, when they get so caught up in their technique, they lose kind of one of their key things of whatever it was that made their pitching motion so good, or even hitters get thinking too much and slows down the reaction time. So there's a fine line there. You got to be able to balance of knowing, okay, hey, I have a natural ability to do this. I want to get better through video work or camera work, whatever it may be, but I can't lose who I am as an athlete is the way I think and get in my own way. So it's obviously a different balancing act.
Brant, I'm just going to let you know, during this interview, I've seen some Tennessee folks trying to make a push for Juwan Jennings. So we're, you know, need to get the word out. Make sure that people keep voting for
him. I mean, was Juwan an all-SEC player? I mean, come on here.
See, that's the pitch. That's what we're looking for, right?
See?
That right
I mean,
there.
I mean, if you want to go by college career, I was the SEC athlete of the year. I mean, come on. You got to give me some credit for that.
That is outstanding. Hey, thanks for doing this. You and your family be safe. And we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Likewise. Thanks, guys, for keeping going. I love listening to y'all. It's good rest it right now to hear talks like these going on when so much other stuff's going on outside.
No doubt about it. We really appreciate it. Brant Snedeker, always good to catch up with him. And right now, he is our 5 seed in the Tim Corbin region, taking on Juwan Jennings. And I wasn't kidding. I've seen a push from the Vols fans to get votes for Jennings during this interview. So hopefully Brant Snedeker can get that ramped up and get things going. We've got about 9 more hours or so of voting in that region. Great turnout yesterday with our votes. 8 athletes advanced in the Jeff Fisher region, and then tonight, by 9 o'clock tonight, 8 more athletes will advance in our bracket for the Tim Corbin region. Then we'll unveil 2 more regions by the end of the week. We will be down to our Sweet 16. When we come back, who do we have waiting in the on-deck circle? How about Jordan Matthews? So a little Vandy flavor here in the second hour of the program. And we'll kick off the third and keep that going with Jordan Matthews. He's involved in the Tim Corbin region. Jordan Matthews versus Ryan Suter. And could this be 2 days in a row the 11 seed takes down the 6? We'll kick off the third hour with Jordan Matthews next on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.